Mark chapter number 11, and we've been talking about this theme of set the sail. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, if you weren't here online, or well, most of you probably weren't here in person a couple of weeks ago, some of you may have been, we gave an illustration about a missionary on his way to China. J. Hudson Taylor was on his way to China. And I'll quickly just give that. He was on a boat. And that boat was drifting toward an island filled with what? Cannibals. That's right, cannibals. And that's obviously concerning. And so the captain of the boat knew that Mr. Taylor was on board and that he was a man of faith. And he came down to him and he said, would you pray... there was no wind, and so the boat was drifting. And so he said, would you pray for some wind? We could really use some wind, otherwise we're going to end up on the beach with the cannibals, and who knows what will happen then. And Mr. Taylor said to him, he said, I'll pray for wind if you'll set the sail. And he said, you don't understand, Mr. Taylor, there's no wind to set the sail. You don't set the sail until after the wind. He said, the other mariners on the boat will think I'm crazy and I've lost it. And he said, I'm not praying unless you set the sail first. He said, okay, I'll set the sail. Over less than a half an hour, about a half an hour later, the captain came down and he knocked on Mr. Taylor's door and he was still praying. And he said, Mr. Taylor, you can stop praying now. He said, the wind came and we're on course for where we need to go now. And the whole point of that illustration was that that's how our Christian life is. It's not, we don't wait on God to do what God is going to do. We have to do our part by faith, trusting Him to do His part. And He will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the object of our faith from Mark chapter number 11. And we emphasized verse 22, have faith in God. That's the object of our faith. Don't put your faith in yourself. Don't put your faith in your spouse. Don't put your faith in the pastor. Don't put your faith in the assistant pastor or anyone else in the church. Have faith in God. The object of our faith is God. Why? Because He's never failed. Jesus Christ said this in Hebrews 13:8, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never let you down. Just a second here. I got to do some housework here. There we go. And He'll never let you down. But you put your faith in a brother. Now, hey, we ought to have confidence in one another. Don't get me wrong. But I'll guarantee you, the minute you start putting your confidence in man and not in God, man's going to let you down. And you're going to get poochie lip disease and you're going to leave the church. And then the devil says, got another one. You see, far too often we put our confidence in man, and when man fails us, we walk away from God. And God's saying, where are you going? I've never failed you yet. I'm not going to start with you. And so make sure our eyes are not on man, but make sure our eyes are on the Lord. That's the object of our faith. It must be God. And then last week we talked about the opportunities of our faith, of biblical faith. Opportunities of our biblical faith. And we looked at that same verse. We went down to verse 23, and remember we talked about God. Jesus gave the illustration of the mountain being moved, remember? And it was a common illustration within the Jewish community of when someone said that, they were saying something that was absolutely impossible to be done. That's what they would say. Isn't it amazing how different sayings that we have even today that originated from the Bible? You know, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in morning. I should have looked up the passage now that I'm quoting it. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Have you ever heard that one? That's from a biblical principle. Somebody look it up online and maybe put it in the comment section. But that's based on a biblical principle. And so here's Jesus giving them an illustration. And remember, He's speaking to His disciples, not the crowd. That's where we want to be, disciple. That's what we're praying for in 2021, that God would raise up a team of disciples at Anchor Baptist Church. There was only 12 disciples. amongst the multitude. And one of the 12 turned out to be a fake, right? Jesus knew that. What I'm saying is, we don't look at 5 and 10 and 15,000 that were fed at the feeding of the 5,000, however many there were there, but we look at the 12 disciples. This is who he's talking to right here. This is who he's spending the quality time with. This is who he's spending more emphasis with. This is what I want in my life. I need more of it. I need greater faith. How about you? The opportunities of our biblical faith. And that brings us tonight, lastly, to this kind of a three-parter. I didn't think it would be a three-parter, but the Lord did, I guess. And that is the obstacles of biblical faith. Obstacles. It's not a matter of just saying, okay, the object is God, the opportunities that come my way, I'm just going to have, that's going to be it. Satan's going to just roll over and play dead, and I'm going to just march on to Zion. No, he's still going to try to trip you up and trip me up. It's bound to happen. Look what the Bible says here, verse number 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Okay, number one, what is the first obstacle to biblical faith? It is unbelief. Unbelief. Notice, and I skipped verse 23. I'm sorry. Go back up to verse 23. Notice the middle of the verse, starting with the word and. And shall not, what's the next word? Middle of verse 23. And shall not doubt. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe. Unbelief. Doubt is deadly to having biblical faith. Doubt is deadly to having a biblical prayer life. The word doubt means to be divided in one's thinking. You know what I think of when I think of the word doubt? I think of, I'm behind the wheel of my car, and I'm at an intersection, and I'm thinking, should I go, shouldn't I? Should I go, shouldn't I? Do I have time to get out? There's a car coming. I can't. And this is all happening in a split second, right? That's what doubt means. To be divided in one's thinking. Here's the other word it means. To hesitate. I think Emma would tell you, probably all three of my kids would tell me, tell you this, that they've heard me say this. Ah, I should have gone. I should have went. In other words, the guy was driving slower than I anticipated. That's just an analogy that I'm giving to you when I think of hesitation, when I think of doubting. And so when it comes to faith, we need to ask God, God, I don't want to doubt you. I don't want to wonder whether you're going to come through or not. I want to believe. I want to believe. But the Bible says about someone who's double-minded. You remember what it said about someone who's double-minded? It says that they are what? Unstable. James chapter 1 verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in, and do you know what the next word is? In all his ways. Think about that. Unstable, doubting, hesitating affects every area of my life. It's not unstable in just one area. James says it's unstable in all areas. So, an obstacle to faith, an obstacle to prayer, it's kind of a combo on this third point, is unbelief. Here's what we get to. We get to the place where we look at God's Word, and we see that God's Word says something about it. We see that God's Word makes a promise. I'm so thankful for the promises of God's Word. But here's the thing, don't doubt them. Believe the promises of God's Word for yourself. Claim them. And that's not selfish. Claim them for yourself. Claim them for the local church. We know what God says, but we don't believe Him. That's doubt. We know what God says, but we don't trust Him. We know what God says, but we hesitate. No, doubt says God may have promised it, but I just don't think He can or will. Now, most of us would never say that, but we think it. And what does the Bible say about a man who thinks in his heart? So is he. So whether I verbalize it or not, if I'm thinking, oh, God's just not going to do this, and God's just not going to do this, and I can tell you, folks, over the last 20 years, I have been there a few times, more than a few times, where I have thought, I don't see God making this happen. That's doubt. That's wrong. Because God can do anything but fail. And so Jesus said to the men, he said, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Turn with me to James chapter 1. I quoted verse 8, but let's look at James 1 verse 6. James. Hebrews James. James chapter number 1 verse 6. God's word says, but let him ask in faith. James 1 6. Let him ask in faith. Look at nothing wavering. That's that idea of doubting, hesitating, back and forth. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For the last 16, 17 months of all of our lives, the wind changed directions, didn't it? And we've been blown all over the place if we're not careful. In fact, just like the missionary said a little while ago, he's concerned that some have been blown completely out of the church. Why? Unbelief. And you think about what God has shown us in his word, and you read church history, and then you think about church right now. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, then maybe you don't understand that the church has gone through, and I'm not belittling what we've gone through, but the church has gone through greater difficulties than what we're going through. I don't want to let the winds, I don't want to let the sea drive me away. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wow. Did you hear what it said? If somebody doesn't ask in faith, James 1, 6, what is the promise? When you don't ask in faith, what is the promise? Don't expect anything. I didn't say that. That's what God's word says. Well, that's challenging, isn't it? That's convicting. I'm convicted by that. Because sometimes we'll just pray something and we really don't think about the fact that God can do this. And we're going to talk about the will of God and praying in the will of God here in just a minute. Okay? We're not just saying name it and claim it. You know? I claim this brand new Rolls Royce by faith. And it's got to be blue. That's not what we're talking about. That's consuming it upon your own lust. That's selfishness. So that's out. So you won't get that anyway, right? Nothing wavering. What does that mean? Back and forth. Let's go to our theme verse. Boy, we haven't mentioned it enough, have we? I'm guilty of that as the pastor. Some of you may have forgot what our theme verse is. Romans 4. Romans 4. Let's turn there quickly. The banners sure did help, didn't they? You miss those banners? Those two banners being up all year long and you could see the theme verse when you came to church? And by the end of December, we could at least know the reference. Romans 4. And bulletins. The bulletin every week had the theme verse on it. We haven't had a bulletin for a while. And maybe we'll break those out again here soon. I vote for that. Romans 4:20, same idea. He staggered not. That's that same idea as wavering, staggering, not doubting, or doubting, excuse me. Who is the he in Romans 4:20? Remember, it's Abraham. It was quite the promise that he was given at kind of an older man, wasn't he? He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. But was strong in faith. That's our theme. Giving God the glory. Giving glory to God. Abraham, strong in faith. That's what we need. But I'll say this to you, I'll say this to me right now, as we go back to Mark's gospel, Mark 11. One of the obstacles of answered prayer, one of the obstacles to faith, is kind of an obvious one. It's unbelief. Secondly, second obstacle to answered prayer or our biblical faith and answered prayer tonight, we're tacking that onto it, is selfishness. Selfishness. Look at the beginning of verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. The word desire means to ask, to beg, to call for, to request. Again, it sounds like we can ask anything and everything and get it. But we know God's word doesn't teach that. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, those of you that are here tonight, thank you for your attention. Praise the Lord for your attention at home as well. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. There's where your confidence needs to be. There's where my confidence needs to be. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The key is based on what His will is, which means it's based on what He wants, not what I want. To pray in God's will simply means to pray for the things that Jesus would pray for. It means to pray for His purposes in my life. God, what do you have for me today? I'm praying that your will would be done in my life today. Just one day at a time. Not that I'm praying that I would have more money, or that I'm praying that I would have a bigger house, or that I would have a better car. But God, what is your will for my life? That's what I'm praying for. And it's okay to ask for a new this or a new that according to God's will. And if God doesn't want you to have it, believe me, you don't want to have it either. Because if it's not God's will, it won't fulfill you anyway, or me. We won't be satisfied, because what is it? If we just keep getting things, believe me, it's never going to satisfy. We can all attest to that. But when it comes from God, and we know this is the will of God, it could be something simple, or it could be something of great value. The point isn't the value. The point is, when it's from God, it meets the need down deep. And we say, wow. Like when I got that envelope yesterday, I have to tell you this. I got that envelope in the mail there late in the afternoon, opened it up, and there was no note in the envelope, just a piece of paper and a $3,000 check made out to the church for the gospel mail advance. I mean, I was shouting and praising. I came up here in my office and just took some time to praise the Lord. We've been praying for that. We haven't been praying to be a rich church. We haven't been praying to have this or that. We've been praying, God, we know that you want people to be saved. You see, when you pray for what God wants, we get God's attention, don't we? God wants people to be saved. In fact, I've been praying for your parents. I won't say your name because we're on the live stream. But I've been praying for your parents since you asked me to. Their name's on my notepad. To be saved. Because we know God wants people to be saved. And so, it's just amazing what God does, isn't it? It means when we pray in God's will, we act, we are as if we are the power of attorney. We're given the right to make decisions on God's behalf, if you will. It means that we act in His best interest, in His best interest. We have His name. We have His reputation, right? We are a C. We are a C-H. We are a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. We have C-H-R-I-S-T in our H-E-A-R-T. We have Christ in our heart. We're a Christian. We bear His name. That means that I need to act like I'm a Christian. I bear His name. I need to bear it. It's a holy name. I don't want to live a life that drags His name through the mud. I want to live a life that honors Him. I want to live a selfless life. But oh, the flesh of Ben Turner wants to have more. So I got to die every day to my flesh. God, what is your will? James 4:3 says this, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss. Obstacles to our faith. 1, unbelief. 2, selfishness. 1 more quickly, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Obstacles to our faith and answered prayer. Unforgiveness. Look at verse 25. When ye stand praying, forgive. 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 Say that with me. Ready? Forgive. Who do you need to forgive tonight? It's a block. If you don't forgive, it's a block toward your faith increasing and toward your prayer being answered. Look what it says. If ye have aught against any, forgive. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And the context of this is all in the sense of when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. Unforgiveness stands as a barrier between myself and the Lord. And I'm not going to have stronger faith until I'm closer to the Lord. Because faith comes through the Word of God, and faith comes from God Himself. If I have an unforgiving spirit, my prayer life is hindered. And as I ask God for greater faith, my prayer life is not going to be answered because I'm not forgiving. Jesus commands His disciples to forgive those who have wronged them. The connection between faith and unforgiveness is this, because the connection is found in the matter of prayer. As faith connects me to God and enables our prayers to get through, unforgiveness is that barrier between me and the Lord. I found this a couple weeks ago. When we say, I know God forgives them, but I can't, we are telling God the Father that although we recognize that He values the blood of His Son enough to pay for the sins of the world, which includes the sins against us, we need something more than that. The blood of Jesus is enough to satisfy God, but it's not valuable enough to satisfy me when we don't forgive. Can you imagine looking at God the Father and saying, your Son's crowning achievement is not good enough? Jesus really didn't finish His work because the sin against me requires a higher payment than He paid? None of us would ever say that, right? Unforgiveness is a big deal. I want to encourage you tonight, be willing to forgive if that's necessary. Biblical faith, that's been the theme the last 3 weeks. It's a powerful weapon. Jesus taught us in this text that mountains yield to the power of biblical faith. Sin and Satan and sorrow bow before the authority of biblical faith. Faith is among the greatest of God's gifts that He's given to us. I wonder tonight, are you walking in faith? I need to walk in greater faith. Strong in faith. Are you asking God and believing God for the unseen? Can I encourage all of us tonight, in person and online, keep praying, keep trusting. In His time, whatever it is you're praying about, He will bring it to pass. Keep coming to Him humbly. Keep coming to Him boldly. Keep coming to Him believing. Is your faith weak tonight? Well, be willing to admit that. And go to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith.